when we set the place up originally, we had the cheap plastic power boards. When the place burnt down, I grabbed the fire investigator bloke and I said, "What happened? How did it happen?" And he said, "Come with me." And he took me into that corner there. And when we finished building the place, we hadn't quite closed off the roof over the top of that that little alcove where the microwave is, because we had the fax machine in there at that stage, and it was on this power board. The bloke said, "Now, I'll show you." And he got down on the ground and he picked up the remains of a power board and he said, "That's what caused this the whole thing to happen." And he illustrated to me. He said, "The inside of those power boards, you buy them for $2 at wherever. So what's the stuff inside it made of?" And he said, "It's almost like silver paper." Mm. And when you push your plugs in, you force it in and the thing sort of opens up a bit. It doesn't sort of clasp like that. It sort of opens up a bit. And that's arcing across there.
Mm.
And he said, "What's happened?" It happened at about 20 past 12 in the evening. And the last fellow had knocked off and walked out, locked up, so there was nothing going to air after midnight at that stage. But at some stage, 10 to 15 minutes after he walked out the door, the power board shorted, started the fire in there, and the fire went up and in through the roof cavity, which hadn't been quite closed off. I think we were still fiddling with wiring and stuff. That's why it hadn't been finished. And once it got up into there, of course, all the roof caught fire. Mm. And once the roof caught fire, everything dropped down. Yeah, one 12-channel desk we had in one of the rooms, that the thing fell down and all it did was all the plastic knobs and that melted, but the board was all right. So that was the board that we managed to stick in the caravan when we got the place rebuilt. And Bob McIntyre, who was our techo at that stage, ordered new knobs and things, and so we reconstituted that. But we had a very good deal with the insurance company, and so most of our stuff was insured, and we got nearly all the equipment back on board anyhow, and we had a lot of donations from the public following the fire, and that's how we got the caravan, because I did a deal with one of the caravan suppliers and said, we've got a small amount of money, will you give us a shell with some power board in the wall and stuff like that, and we'll fit it out ourselves, and you can put it, cover it with your advertising. And so for about 10 grand we got about 18 grand's worth of caravan, and we outfitted it ourselves and managed to put that desk in there as well, and so that was our portable caravan after the fire.
Despite the devastation of that fire, I believe you were only off air one day.
Yeah. Well, the studio where across the passage, which we now call Studio 3, that was one of the rooms that was in the other studios that we had across the passage there that hadn't burned down. So we managed to have enough equipment in there, and that was our transmission equipment as well in that studio. So if that had gone as well, we'd have been completely in trouble. But because all of that stuff was still okay, we managed to find one power board, one power point in there, one outlet, and that's what we ran the station for about probably about 6 or 8 months, I suppose. But we had no heating, no way to boil a jug or anything like that, because if you did anything extra in that power point, it'd blow the whole thing up. So we weren't drawing much power, but we did manage to work in there for the time that this place was being rebuilt.
If you look back over your time, because you're what I refer to as one of the 30-pluses.
Oh, yeah.
When you look back over your time with Radio Eastern, you've obviously worked with a tremendous number of people. They've come, they've gone. You've done a wealth of different programs, presented them. I mean, what are some of those highlights? There must be so many.
Well, I sort of scratch my head at times and think, you know, why on earth am I still doing this? And then someone asked me the same question. I said, well, look, I love doing it. I get a great deal of enjoyment. I play the music that I like playing, and apparently that's still acceptable to the listeners. I guess it's to get involved with radio or a lot of community organisations, there's got to be a certain amount of ego involved, and I guess I'm not short on that. my involvement in all the other organisations that I've been involved with. I think I'm life members of almost everything that I've been involved with over the years. So, you know, there's a history of, I guess it's come from a family. Dad was very much involved in, and Mum as well, in, you know, community organisations, scout groups. Dad and Mum were president and secretary of a scout group, and Mum was on the school committee. And I guess, you know, that grounding sort of, I guess that's where I picked up my involvement in community, and that's always been something that I've been keen to continue on. But I guess the fact that my voice isn't too bad turned out to be a positive. No, I love doing it. And I think, you know, the other thing, I think the end result of all that we do in here is of benefit to our community. And I think that's, you know, the other thing that we get a pretty bit of a spin-off from.
Has it changed, do you think? I mean, when you look back over 30 years, the need for community radio, because the whole broadcasting, the whole communication system is so different.
Yeah, it's changed immensely. But the thing about it is, though, that smaller organisations in the community have difficulty in getting any publicity on. Well, now we've lost local papers as well, so it's even more important, I guess, to have this sort of access for the smaller groups to be able to get their word out there to the local community. And because we're providing that service at virtually no cost to non-profit community groups around there, it's a worthwhile thing. And I think we get a fair bit of, like anything else, where you're putting in, if there's a positive input from the community, and we've got pretty much, I think, the amount of community support is enough to make you feel that, you know, you're still doing something worthwhile.
And, of course, the, what can we call them, the COVID years? They're not gone yet, but we'll certainly remember 2020 and 2021.
It's made a big impact, of course, because, well, we were able to keep on going, fortunately, because of our emergency management role, which is, well, that's only been with us for, what, probably 10 years or not much more than that, but it certainly fulfills a role. And but all of the community organisations weren't able to continue their normal operations anyhow. They've been virtually closed down in most instances, been able to do some stuff on the computers, but that limits the amount of operation. I mean, I've been involved heavily with the local footy club over that long time that I mentioned earlier, and, you know, that was like chopping off an arm to be not able to continue with that. And along the way, you know, a few other things that I'd worked very hard on also fell over. The Maroondah Sports Club finished up closing down because of the COVID situation.
So we could say, I suppose, that Radio Eastern FM was a beacon during this period.
Certainly. I think you're right there. You know, one of the things I guess we've always, when we've done outside broadcasts to try and get people to realise that we exist, and for many years we used to, when we did the outside broadcast, have a group of people standing out in front of the van talking to the passing parade, and it was really quite amazing when you said to people, you know, do you know about our radio station? And they say, oh yeah, I listen to that all the time, you know. Oh, that's it. So it was amazing, you know, that sort of feedback was gratifying as well, because, you know, you realise then. And the other thing that, through Les's original involvement, we got involved with a local footy league, and it's probably the biggest metropolitan football league, at the Eastern Footy League, or Croydon Ferntree Gully, as it was in those early days. But it's still one of the biggest ones, and so consequently, with, say, you know, 40 or 50 football teams in the local area, and you start talking about some of the things that they're on in the footy shows. And we didn't originally do a live broadcast of games, but we did a lot of announcing teams on a Friday night, and reviews on a Sunday morning of results and all that sort of thing, which, you know, there's an enormous number of people who are interested in that sort of thing. Their sons play footy, or their grandmas know their grandsons playing for the local footy team. And, you know, sort of, I think we developed a listener base a little bit more than just a normal, community group type base. Well, that's the reason that I'm still involved with the radio station anyhow. I've dropped out of the footy side of things a few years ago, but still have a strong interest, and I think we still provide a pretty good service to that very big sporting area and the sporting groups now that have access to being able to publicise, like the cricket and the bowls and netball and all those sort of things. They can't get that sort of exposure anywhere else. Now local papers have gone to wherever.
At some point, we all have to move on, realise that our time is up in terms of doing a particular job. When you do decide, reluctantly, for us and for you, to pack it in, what do you think your contribution has been and what you've left behind?
No, my colleague Norm and I have an understanding or an aim that we work to. We wake up in the morning and say, beauty, I'm still here, let's get on with it. And, that's my attitude at the moment. I'm hopeful that my health stays reasonably okay, and I'm happy to continue with the radio as long as the voice holds out and as long as the management decide that I fit in with whatever their scheme of things are for the future. The changes in technology. I was lucky when I was still working that computers were just starting to come on the scene, and I was involved a little bit with the early development of some of the equipment that was used in our surveying fields and then even the office computer systems. So I left there with a little bit of a grounding on the future, and touch wood, so far I've managed to stay reasonably up to date with the changes that are being made to keep the technology side of the radio transmissions up to speed, and it hasn't sort of frightened me away, as some people find it difficult to accept that, and there are still changes, and so far I've managed to be able to accommodate those changes, and that's one of the other things. I think that as soon as I realise that that my ability to accommodate the changes takes place, well, I guess at that stage, reluctantly, I might have to say see you later, but at this stage I don't envisage that in the near future, Rog, and we'll keep our fingers crossed.